Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for conservatives today. But we start with a little bit of a kicker, Jim. This isn't an actual martini, but breaking news this morning. Not only is John Kasich ahead of Donald Trump in Ohio now by 5 points, according to the Fox News poll, John Kasich says he has landed the most coveted endorsement in the Buckeye state, and that, of course, is that of Buckeyes head football coach Urban Meyer. This whole scene, of course, makes me want to retch since I'm from Michigan, but if you're trying to win Ohio, that makes sense. It's an incredibly awkward video that the Kasich campaign put out, but Jim, can you guess the first thing Kasich mentioned in the video?
He is the son of a mailman.
Here it is.
Coach, it's a very exciting time, obviously. You know, when you grew up the son of a mailman, you know, and you're running for president, and you're down to just a handful in all of America.
Oh, Jim, he just can't help himself.
Greg, you know, in moments like this, I'm just so infuriated. I'm so exasperated. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm just going to take Matt Forte and hold him and make myself feel better that way. Oh, that's right. You can't do that as a Bears fan. Sorry about that. Oh, well. Bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, what's our first martini today, Greg?
Pausing
now
for
that
a
I've
moment.
Just punched you in the metaphorical gut.
Yeah, yeah, I feel it physically, I think. Okay, on to the good martini. Last night was a Democratic debate. It's funny how we get our good martinis from the Democrats lately, but Hillary Clinton getting some pretty tough questions. This was a Univision debate. The Washington Post was also involved, and CNN. Jorge Ramos not holding back. He is certainly not a conservative in any way, shape, or form, but he brought up issues that I think most mainstream American journalists have either brought up very tentatively or not at all in some of these exchanges, and on two issues in particular. First of all, on the emails, where he points out that she insisted on all of her State Department employees making sure they conducted all their business on the State Department server, but obviously she didn't expect that of herself.
It seems that you issued one set of rules for yourself and a different set of rules for the rest of the State Department. So who specifically gave you permission to operate your email system as you did? Was it President Barack Obama? And would you drop out of the race if you get indicted?
So, of course, Hillary answered neither of those questions. She went on to talk about how nothing was marked classified, how Colin Powell did the same thing. He didn't because he didn't have his own server. But so then Jorge Ramos actually followed up.
There was no permission to be asked. It had been done by my predecessors. It was permitted. I didn't have to ask anyone.
If you get indicted, would you drop out?
Oh, for goodness. That is not going to happen. I'm not even answering that question.
And then he went to Benghazi and brought forth video from Sean Smith's mother. He was the aide to Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was also killed at the consulate there. And Smith's mother has said that Hillary lied about the video being the cause for the attack on the consulate.
Secretary Clinton, did you lie to them?
You know, look, I feel a great deal of sympathy for the families of the four brave Americans that we lost at Benghazi. And I certainly can't even imagine the grief that she has for losing her son. But she's wrong. She's absolutely wrong.
So, Jim, kudos to Ramos for some pretty tough questions. And kudos to the American people who can, if they can decipher the fact that Hillary Clinton gave horrific answers to both questions.
I almost wonder if Ramos, because there's a perception that he is pro-Democrat, he's obviously a pretty outspoken advocate for comprehensive immigration reform, a path to citizenship. Pretty much has openly called Trump a xenophobe and worse. Because of the perception that he's on their side, I wonder if he kind of feels liberated to ask them tougher questions. And when they, you know, he asked them a couple questions on immigration, and obviously, you know, both Sanders and Clinton offered kind of a generic happy talk. And then he really tried to pin him down on, will you end deportation of children? Will you guarantee you will not deport children when you're president? Now, Greg, you and I don't know about you, we look at this and say, wait a second, this is exactly how we ended up with like this avalanche of toddlers coming over our southern border, because the reports in Central America were that America was giving permisos to children who were unattended and coming across the border. So, you know, parents were sending their kids out there into the middle of the desert. It was a humanitarian disaster. You don't do this. You don't talk this up. You don't say that this is we're going to do this, because the rumor mills will fly and the people smugglers will start convincing people you got to do this. this is kind of a giant warning sign, but it was great clarifying the Benghazi question. Like, it wasn't just the questions, it was the follow-ups. These were tough follow-ups. And I guess maybe kind of segueing to our bad martini, it's fascinating that even at this late stage in the campaign, we're still learning new things about these candidates and seeing them in a different light from a long, long time ago.
That's certainly the case. And I think we have an inclination to root for Bernie Sanders just because of how much we don't want Hillary Clinton to be president and what a disaster she's been in her various positions over the years. But obviously, Bernie Sanders would be horrific given his socialistic tendencies. But it's not only on an economic basis, it's on his foreign policy. Again, kudos to the moderators for digging up this video. Here's Sanders back in 1985. I believe the context was whether or not to back the Sandinistas against the communists in Nicaragua. And here's what he said over 30 years ago.
Way back in, when was it, 1961, they invaded Cuba. And everybody was totally convinced that Castro was the worst guy in the world, that all the Cuban people were going to rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro. They had forgot that he educated their kids, gave them health care, totally transformed the society. You know, not to say that Fidel Castro or Cuba are perfect. They are certainly not. But just because Ronald Reagan dislikes these people does not mean to say that the people in their own nations feel the same way. So they expected this tremendous uprising in Cuba. It never came.
So, Bernie Sanders, in Miami, do you care to revise and extend those remarks? Yes and no. Here's what he said.
Cuba is, of course, an authoritarian, undemocratic country, and I hope very much as soon as possible it becomes a democratic country. But on the other hand, it would be wrong not to state that in Cuba they have made some good advances in health care. They are sending doctors all over the world. They have made some progress in education. I think by restoring full diplomatic relations with Cuba, it will result in significant improvements to the lives of Cubans, and it will help the United States and our business community
invest.
Thank you,
Senator.
Sure, they brutalized their own people, and they've been unrepentant about it for over 50 years, Jim. But hey, you know, they got their good points, too.
Look, if you're going to have a brutal authoritarian regime that will throw you in jail for speaking out against them, or that will make you disappear in the middle of the night and nobody will ever hear from you, will beat you, will imprison members of your family, at least you got good education and healthcare. I'm not willing to make that deal, Bernie Sanders. And, you know, oh, by the way, it would have been nice, Greg, if somebody had told him beforehand that Cuban Americans in Florida are generally not big fans of Fidel Castro. Like, somebody should have at least kind of gradually mentioned that or alluded to that point at some point. It was a weird moment when Hillary Clinton comes up and says, look, these are not American values and we shouldn't stand for that. And, you know, when Hillary Clinton is forthrightly standing for what's right and for democracy, it says something about the state of the race and Sanders thinking, yes, he is a charmingly open socialist. And he really, we do love the way he calls BS on Hillary's BS. But at the very least, Greg, I kept waiting for him to say, look, that was when I was young and naive and only 44 years old. But he still stands by it. I think, you know, that he looks at the left, you know, if it's an authoritarian regime on the left, Bernie Sanders is always going to look for the good in them. And it's not the philosophy I want an American president having.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And even being a friend of Donald Trump's apparently is quite dangerous. This story broke very late Tuesday night, maybe early Wednesday morning. Obviously, Donald Trump did very well on Tuesday. He won 3 states. By the time he did his press conference in Florida on Tuesday night, he had been declared the winner in Mississippi and Michigan. He later went on to win in Hawaii. But after giving his remarks about how he still has his stakes in his university and defending all that sort of stuff, he also worked the rope line with reporters and answered a bunch of questions. He got to Michelle Fields, who tried to ask a question about an affirmative action policy. Then there was an altercation where Michelle Fields was grabbed. Michelle Fields of Breitbart grabbed and basically almost pulled to the ground. This is the statement that Breitbart issued following that. It's obviously unacceptable that someone crossed a line and made physical contact with our reporter. What Michelle has told us directly is that someone grabbed her arm, and while she did not see who it was, Ben Terrace of the Washington Post told her that it was Corey Lewandowski, who was Trump's campaign manager. If that's the case, Corey owes Michelle an immediate apology. And the Daily Beast reports now that the statement was issued in the wee hours of Wednesday morning, but remains Breitbart's official comment on the matter hours after sources said Lewandowski acknowledged to Breitbart's Washington political editor Matthew Boyle that he did manhandle Fields. Here's the worst part. Lewandowski's explanation to Boyle, said these sources, was that he and Fields had never met before, and he didn't recognize her as a Breitbart reporter, instead mistaking her for an adversarial member of the mainstream media. Trump's press secretary, Hope Hicks, did not respond to an email seeking comment. So, Jim, it's just a massive misunderstanding. You know, it makes sense if it was somebody who was actually hostile to Trump, then you could obviously take him to the ground.
I would have only grabbed your arm and physically caused you pain if I thought you were with another publication. Let's let bygones be bygones. No, Lloyd Grove's report in the Daily Beast is really creepy and disturbing. And a couple of thoughts is that, look, we've seen, remember the Secret Service agent who was on video slamming that photographer to the floor?
Yes.
So we've seen that. We've seen other altercations. Apparently there's a video going around this morning about Black Lives Matter African-American protester getting punched in the back of the head. At a Trump rally, the fight ensues after the initial punch, and of course the police arrest the Black Lives Matter protester. We end up with more and more cases of violence breaking out at these Trump things, and violence against reporters. You don't see these things at Ted Cruz rallies. You don't see these things at Rubio or Hillary or Sanders or any of the other case. It's only in this atmosphere of Trump rallies. And then you see this report of a campaign manager physically assaulting a reporter. And perhaps every bit as disturbing. Look, people have been saying that the Breitbart.com site is in the tank for Trump since the beginning. Maybe you think that's fair, maybe you don't, but it's very, very strange. The statement from Breitbart, well, if this happened, and if it really was the way that it is the least supportive statement they possibly could have issued for their person. And when you work for a place, you're part of a team, and you're supposed to stick together with your parts of your team. And when somebody comes along and physically assaults one of the members of your team, you're supposed to have their back. But I guess that's not the mentality, and I just think it's very revealing. Two revealings. One is that obviously that it sounds like Breitbart readers don't think they've got a legitimate gripe, that she should put a Band-Aid on her boo-boo, stop whining, comments like that. Also, just FYI, Greg, I put up a Twitter poll a little couple hours ago. Agree or disagree, the world would be a better place if Trump's manager, Corey Lewandowski, inflicted physical harm on more reporters. At this point, Greg, 26% of respondents agree that would be a good thing.
What?
Yes, 26% of the respondents of it's limited to people who are following me on Twitter. We've only got about 300 votes so far, so it's not an enormous sample size, but roughly one quarter of Americans support violence against reporters as a general principle, not just specifically this particular reporter.
I would butcher the quote. You know it better than I do. It's from one of the Star Wars prequels. This is how freedom dies with thunderous applause or something. Is this how the freedom of the press dies with thunderous applause?
Remember, we don't quote the prequels. That's kind of it's part of our plan to build a better America. Making America great again is to erase the prequels from our memories. Having said that, I think I got a bad feeling about this. This will fit for this circumstance, and in fact fits for most circumstances. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Oh, just awful. Jim, have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.